The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's not my job to do that. And let me make it clear that I don't have challenges with under 2 minutes to go. Okay, like, so we're all clear on that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
Do you think they blew it?
I don't have any idea, John. I'll have to watch it on tape. That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. You know, what I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, down 14-6. You know, I'm not trying to say call a timeout there. They rule it a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So, you know, whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
Well, that could have gone better. And hey, it's not our job to do a radio show today, but I guess we'll do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you wish to watch us on live stream, go to ESPN975.com and click on Watch Us on Live Stream. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Hashtag not my job, Hoffman.
Not my job to have a good weekend. I've got a Saturday and a Sunday. My job is to, you know, come into Monday 14-6, winning 14-6. I mean, losing 14-6, and then just go from there. It's not my job to have a good weekend. Who are you? Who are you to tell me? You're going to write what you want to write, but that's not my job.
No, it's pretty much what I wrote. I feel like I've written that Bill O'Brien game management column about 10 times now.
Yeah, I don't want to say that we told you before the season even started that Bill O'Brien's a bad coach and he'll cost his team games, but we did. And mind you,
well, let's be fair. I don't think it would have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered. And anybody who looks at that game and says, man, Texans only lost by 7 to the Pats. They had a chance to win it. Not really. That game wasn't a one-possession game. The difference between those two teams is much greater than 7 points in the grand scheme. Like, that's a... It was pretty obvious that one team was significantly better than the other. Now, they get a gift from the special teams gods, and a punt that should have never happened turns into a muff punt, and it's a walk-in 7 points. Otherwise, that you lose that game by 14, maybe 21 points if they take that punt and actually build a drive off of it. This was not a promising showing. If you are of the belief that the Texans this year are going to be significantly better than last year, which most people are, this does not bode well for that. This looked like same old Texans. And, I mean, Watson wasn't embarrassingly bad, but he wasn't magical like he was last year. And it's kind of what I expected. Like, once teams get a good look at him on film, it slows down. You could say the same for our boy Jimmy Garoppolo up in Minnesota. They got a good look at him, and they're like, okay, well, you're not beating us like this. I think that my expectations for the Texans have went from, man, maybe they can win the division if everything falls right, to, man, I like what I was saying earlier. If they win 8 games, if they go 8-8 this year, I look at it as a success, because from where they were last year, if they can double their win total from last year, it's a massive success. And what I saw yesterday, 8 is going to be a challenge. with what they're doing.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I actually am encouraged by some things that I saw yesterday.
Offensive line play?
I think especially the way they run blocked.
They did run blocking well. I mean, well, not that good.
Not as well
year.
As they did last year. Yeah. And I think, and by the way, adios, Sean Terrell. We hardly knew ye. But I think when after Rankin settled in at left tackle, he actually looked pretty promising there. And he gave up the sack right off the bat, and he had a couple of misses early. But then once he kind of got his feet, I thought he looked pretty decent. But I got a lot of thoughts on this. But I'm actually encouraged because I think defensively, considering you got zero out of Whitney Mercilus and Jadeveon Clowney yesterday. I mean, zero. Those guys were complete negatives. That Watt was the first half was also a zero.
Yep.
Finally got it going in the second half. I think the safety play looked great. I hate to say this, but Kevin Johnson being out is a positive.
Dude,
that guy is so bad.
Oh. I've been trying to tell everybody. Everybody's, wait till he's healthy. No, he's not good.
Well, and he can't stay healthy. And can we also just dismiss this narrative that, hey, at least the Texans always hit on their first round picks?
Not anymore.
Because I think that guy's a bust. And, oh, by the way, Will Fuller with a hamstring again. That guy's a bust, too. I'm sorry. And, oh, he's so explosive when he's in there. Like, how many games a year do you get? Three? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not good for where he was drafted. But he's a poor man's Cordarrelle Patterson is what he is.
That's about right.
But the reality is, I think, if you step back and look at it, the fact that they went in against a team significantly better than them, significantly better coach than them, Watson was really rusty. And I don't like the way... And as part of the column is I don't like the way O'Brien was using him during the game. It was obvious that he wasn't 100%, that he wasn't accurate, that he wasn't on his game. And yet, the key play for me, the 3rd and 5 with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, when they went for it on 4th down after that, this is something that drives me nuts about Bill O'Brien. If you should decide on 3rd down if you're going for it on 4th.
Yeah, if you're in 4 down territory.
Yeah, and
run now, granted, that can change if you take a loss.
Right. Right.
But you should be running plays that say, I want to go for it on 4th down. I need this 1st down. Like, you should be pre-prepared. I know what you're saying.
But you don't throw 2 balls in the end zone on 3rd and 4th down. Especially, and
you want to make it manageable.
Yeah, but it's, Ryan Griffin was open. Yeah, and Watson missed him. But guess what? He'd been missing guys downfield all day. Give him a quick slant. Give him something that gets the 1st down. And I don't necessarily have a problem with going for it on 4th there. You're not going to beat the Patriots by kicking field goal after field goal.
Yeah.
But have a plan. It just felt like he decided, it's 4th down, let's go for it. And, you know, that's been consistent throughout his career. And the not calling a timeout.
Just letting 31 seconds disappear.
That's the thing. When they got the punt off the muff, which, again, bad decision to punt the football.
Horrible.
I don't care if it worked. That's like going all in with Deuce 7.
That's Matt Dean terms, decisions, not outcomes.
Right.
That was a horrible decision.
That was a terrible decision.
But that's not his job to make good decisions.
Then you get down there, and this is another thing throughout his career that has driven me nuts. And I feel like I've said this 1,000 times. Have a sense of urgency. How much time did they waste trying to score there? They put themselves in a position. You have to score twice. And if you're in a position where if you have to score once and you don't want to leave Brady time, that's totally different. Stall. But if you're trying to score twice in the last 4 minutes of the game, which became the last 2 minutes of the game, you damn near lost the 2-minute warning because of that, the way you played it. I mean, you've got to get up there and run plays. There's no they have no such thing as a hurry-up offense. They just don't have it. And you know, that's on O'Brien. Having said that, I think...
Wait, on O'Brien, that's not his job.
I don't know what his job is. It damn sure isn't to be a good play caller either. And it was kind of funny because Tony Romo, I got to give him credit. He all but castrated O'Brien throughout
the game. Tony Romo's the most honest. He's the realest dude. He's like the anti-Gruden. Like, Gruden will try to swing everything into sounding
like... Look at
like,
this guy!
Like, it was actually a good... It just didn't work out or whatever. Like, Romo's like, I don't know what he's thinking there.
Yeah.
I love it. Tony Romo's, like, really refreshing as a color analyst.
But he's right, because he was saying the same thing all of us were thinking.
Yeah.
And just all of those little decisions, I don't think it cost him the game because I think the better team won. But if you're going to have a chance against a team like the Patriots... Then you've got to convert those things. You've got to clean up all those things, and I don't see any reason it ever happens because it never does.
I have O'Brien on the pace
from
today.
Yeah, let's hear that. Let's hear that.
Pace wasn't very good yesterday, so I've got to get better with the pace. That's on me.
Of course you do.
So it's on him.
Yeah, well, he's got to get better. He's got to get better. Honestly, let me give you another problem I had, and this is not really a coaching issue, but I thought Deshaun Watson, better than anybody, should know what his offensive line is, and he seemed too comfortable taking deep drops and holding on to the football, you know, and like waiting for plays to develop when you know you don't have time for plays to develop downfield. That's just not, that's not what you're going to have this year.
And that was the thing. He didn't look like the same guy, and whether it's rust or whether it's just timing or whatever, he spent too much time in the pocket. I would like to have seen some bootlegs and things like that, which makes me wonder, maybe the knee's not as right as we've been led to believe, because when he did take off running, it was basically as, I guess they had one called running play. Everything else was when the protection was breaking down. And the Patriots had a really good scheme for that, too. And that's the kind of thing you've got to adjust to. But he looked stiff. He did not look fluid. He didn't look like the guy we saw last year. And maybe some of that's to be expected. But, you know, I think it was a disappointing effort on his part, but I think he'll get better. I just think... Yeah, but if the play calling doesn't get better, doesn't really matter. You're just a sexy Tom Savage if that's the plays you're going to run. And what were these silly reverses and stuff?
I mean,
had no chance.
One on third down.
Yeah,
it's like on third down. That's what you do. Come on, man. It was frustrating, and like I said, it's going to be it's going to continue to be frustrating because it's just not a very good. It's not a very well coached team.
No.
And they're going to overcome some of it because Deshaun Watson's a really talented dude. But I don't know how much of it they can overcome with just Deshaun Watson being a talented dude. Because if yesterday's in any indication, Deshaun Watson right now isn't good enough to overcome all the bad. And the defense wasn't good enough to overcome all the bad. You know, the Patriots' offensive line is nothing like spectacular. They let their left tackle walk this offseason. And like you said, where was Jadeveon Clowney? Where was Whitney Mercilus?
Yeah, those guys were beyond useless.
That's a frustrating thing. And I know, listen, I'll give them some benefit of the doubt because Gronk is going to do this to everybody. But this middle linebacking core that's supposed to be so great in coverage and these safeties that are going to give all this help, nobody had an answer for Rob Gronkowski. He pulled their pants down. But like I said, he's going to do that to a lot of teams, and you won't see another guy like Gronk. But my goodness, that was just a brutal mismatch. To their credit, with the exception of Kevin Johnson, corners held their own.
Yeah.
You know,
better than I expected. I thought the safeties were great. I thought Honey Badger was terrific. Obviously.
I love Tyrann Mathieu just basically saying, dude, what are you doing?
Exactly. And that's
refreshing because he doesn't know what he's doing. So somebody needs to tell him.
And he just sat there and looked like an idiot. But. We'll get back to him because that's a whole other story. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 Sports Map 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
All right, guys, let me tell you about my friends over at Bill Advisor. They want to save you money on your homeowner's insurance. Shopping for a better deal on your policy has always been a hassle. It used to take hours to get a decent quote. Then someone came along and made 15 minutes to save a few percent. But Bill Advisor's new system is even faster, and you'll probably save a bunch of money. They're going to deliver you a firm insurance quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a text message. That's right. Grab your phone right now. Text the word money. M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You send that back, and they're going to get you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The savings at Bill Advisor, they're real. The average homeowner saving over $790 a year. That's real coverage with real savings real fast. It's 2018, and no one has 15 minutes anymore. Bill Advisor is going to find you savings in seconds. This is the new way to shop and save big on your home insurance. One more time, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote today from Bill Advisor.
Yeah! Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hindsight being 20/20 with the benefit of, eight different angles and all those things, surely I would have taken a timeout to see if they would at least buzz down to take a look at the play, but they didn't. And I didn't do that. And so, that's exactly what happened. And we ended up giving up a touchdown at the end of the half that didn't help our cause, obviously.
And we are back on the Blitz.
Like, listen, after that happens, there's no great thing you can say that's going to make it better. Yeah, but it's just every time I hear him after a loss like this, it's like he makes it worse.
Yeah.
With what he says.
He makes excuses and he's defensive about it. And he comes off as you're an idiot for even asking. And then the next day when he goes back and looks at, okay, maybe I screwed up. He's a dickweed. I don't like the guy even a little bit.
He's petulant.
He is. He is extremely petulant, arrogant, and not a very good football coach. And that I don't mind arrogance if you're good at what you do, which is why I work with you. But I hate guys who are arrogant that don't know what the hell they're doing. And, and it's the same stuff, man. It's like, how do you not ever get any better?
I don't know. I mean, unless you're just completely overmatched to begin with.
Well, and the thing is, it's heightened when he's up against a guy like Belichick and his staff, because his flaws are more exposed when he goes up against a guy like that. But the reality is, and the margin of error was so small there for them to go in and beat New England. That's why I'm actually pretty encouraged, because I think Watson will get better. I think the defense, the way they played in the second half, is closer to what I expect to see the rest of the year. I think they improved dramatically just by getting Kevin Johnson off the field. And, I expect them to look better than they did. And they still went in and they didn't have a chance to win the game. To me, that felt like a 34-20 game. But they at least gave the Patriots a battle.
Yeah.
And they had a last possession. Although, again, the Patriots come up with stuff. I mean, putting the ball inside the one, that takes away any chance of a miracle at that point at the end. And that's what I mean by the margins for error are small. But when they're small, that's when O'Brien's at his worst. It's like he will always make that error. And it's not going to matter if they go in and put up, 40 against the Titans next week. Those little decisions won't hurt you. But you're not going to go on the road and beat a team like the Patriots like that. And one more thought on Kevin Johnson. He had one stretch of really good football where it looked like, hey, they may have something here. And then he got hurt, and he came back last year, and he was terrible, and he never got any better. And then this year he comes back, and he's not any better, and he's never on the field. And this is his third concussion now. I don't think you should ever expect to see Kevin Johnson on the field again.
I wouldn't be shocked if you don't.
And I would be okay with that.
I mean, listen, I hate that the guy's hurt again, and I hate that it's that again, but
he's such a nice kid, too. It's hard to, I hate to see it, but he's gotten both those concussions was terrible technique. The last two, where he falls down because he was beaten in the preseason game, and this one he's sticking his neck in there. I mean, what the hell, man?
And let's rewind to draft day when Marcus Peters is available, and now you've got, you say, a really nice kid who just can't play and can't stay healthy versus a not-so-nice kid who can play. What do you want?
Well,
you've got to be able to play. That's number one.
Yeah.
If you can't play, it doesn't matter you are.
And I think he could have developed into something, but I don't want to. I think there's certain things guys pick up instinctively, and he just never did. I mean, I want to say a 6-game stretch 2 years ago where he really looked good.
Yeah.
He was actually playing better than Bouye, and then Bouye replaced him.
He did have a couple good games.
And you're like, eh. So, but I just think that's one you have to punt on, and let's not see him out there again, because it's not just a matter of an inability to play. As we saw yesterday, it's not even knowing where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And if you can't put yourself in position. And it was more than once, too. He was out of position several times. And then you just can't have him on the field. There were some positives, though. I think the safeties in particular played really, really well. That's a strong group that I think is going to be a positive for them moving forward. I like the way they ran the football. I do think I do think Watson will play better. I think he needed to get a game under his belt. He looked stiff in the pocket, which was not what we've seen from him in the past. And I'm just going to say he needed a game. You know what it looked like to me? He looked a little bit like Khalil Tate. It's like, we're going to make him stay in the pocket.
Yeah.
And not.
Which we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
That team's dead to me for sure.
But it just felt like, okay, we're going to let him stay in the pocket and pass the football. Maybe we don't want to push the knee or whatever. But if that's the case, maybe he shouldn't be out there. Because if you're taking away that element of his game, I mean, where were the bootlegs?
Right.
I mean, you just get him out of the pocket, because when he did get out of the pocket to throw the ball, he was being chased the whole time. So he wasn't going to be effective. But if you design some of that, then, you know, he's pretty good when you get him out there in a design bootleg where he can look over the field. And the times he did it this time, there weren't bootlegs. It was just running for your life and then throwing it at whoever's feet.
It's not right. My job to do that.
And with outside of DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know that he really looked for anyone down the field at any point.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say he threw for Griffin once. It was maybe beyond 10, 12 yards, but everything. And that was the problem. That's why I didn't understand why he was holding the ball so long, because what are you waiting for to happen? Nobody's running routes besides Hopkins. No one's running more than a 10-yard route. No,
and they're not getting open either. That was part of the problem. And credit to the Patriots for that.
Credit to Stephon Gilmore for minimizing what DeAndre Hopkins could do, which we said that's a tough ask for anybody, but Stephon Gilmore played a hell of a game. And I mean, Hopkins still, he still got his, I mean, not all of his.
Could have had a couple more. Yeah.
Yeah. But he had a good enough game. But if you told Stephon Gilmore Hopkins will have 8 catches for less than 80 yards, I think Gilmore, I'm sure the Patriots coaching staff, they'd all say, yeah, that works for us.
Yeah, we'll take that right now.
Especially when who else did anything? I mean, Bruce Ellington had a couple catches.
But he's nothing special.
I think the Texans were really fortunate that they got such a good day running the football.
Yeah.
Because without that, yesterday's a total disaster. And, you know, Lamar Miller looked like kind of like the Lamar Miller that they signed. Alfred Blue looked like he can actually play football for a couple plays.
If you get that every week, you're going to be happy running the football. And I think the rest of it will come around. But I also think that in the end, in a tight game, O'Brien's just going to make the wrong decisions, and he's not going to give his team a chance to win. And against good teams. And we saw that last year with the Patriots. We saw it last year with the Seahawks. And this is the thing I was hammering on Friday. And damned if he doesn't just walk himself right into it. It is your job, Bill.
It's not my job to do that.
And that's okay, because the reality is we didn't expect him to beat the Patriots. I didn't expect him to beat. I thought it'd be closer. And I thought that his mistakes. And a lot of people are talking about not calling the timeout. I don't think that play gets overturned.
I don't think so. When the Gronk play you're talking about?
Yeah, the Gronk play.
It's close. I don't know if there's enough to overturn it, though. I mean, they call it a catch on the field. That's probably staying a catch.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can argue it wiggled, but we've seen now that movement, once it hits the ground, they're not worried about that anymore.
No.
So
unless you're Julio Jones.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I think it's a coin flip, but at least a coin flip gives you a chance. Doing anything does you nothing.
Right. I mean, even if it's a 1% chance they overturn it, and this whole bit about, oh, well, that gives them more chance to come up with a play. Yeah, because them not having time to come up with a play, that really works so well for you, Bill.
Right. Yeah.
And
they'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's one of those skills that just, unfortunately, too many coaches are not good at game management.
If Brady thought that they had a massive disadvantage by not getting to come up with a play, he wouldn't have charged up to the line and got a playoff.
Exactly. And the whole bit about, oh, it's not my job to make their job easier, so it's the Patriots' job to make it harder, because that's what they did.
Yeah.
They ran up to the line and got the playoff.
What should they have done? Just said, oh, well, let's slow this down and see if the box wants to review this. No, you get up there. That's what you do. That's what a smart coach does. He says, go, go, go. And the other coach has to say, whoa, 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 we got to slow this down, because there's a chance that gets overturned. It's just, he can say all he wants, that's not my job, but it is his job.
Yeah, but it never occurred to him. That's why I was so pissy in the press conference yesterday. He never thought of it. And so 512 says in the final 5 minutes, where was the urgency? That's that. And I brought that up earlier.
Yeah,
they're terrible at that. They don't realize that especially down two scores, those seconds are precious, man.
There's a limited number of time or limited number of ticks left
on
the clock.
You're basically trying to give yourself two possessions there with a realistic chance.
And they wasted 31 seconds.
On one play.
One play.
Yeah. They wasted about 2 minutes on that last touchdown drive total. I think it was about a minute 48.
Is it Bill's job to hurry up?
Oh, no.
It's not my job to do that.
Hmm. I wonder whose job that is.
Is it his job to win games?
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot to clean up this week.
It's not my job to do that.
No, well, it will be your job. But if your office is dirty, that's not your job to clean up.
It's not my job to do that.
I know. Dirt Free will come do it. Floors and upholsteries, they take a beating in the summer when the kids are out of school. You can take advantage of Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning's fall special and get 3 rooms of carpet or tile cleaned for $100. And they're going to throw in a free speed dry. Nowadays, people like the lighter colored fabrics and carpets, but you got to keep them clean or they look beat up. Get Dirt Free Carpet's fall special, 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for $100, and get a free speed dry. Call Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning, 281 Dirt Free. Go chemical free with Dirt Free. They use no soaps, no unhealthy dirt attracting chemicals, and they've been doing this for over 30 years with the best technology in the game. Cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call them right now, 281 Dirt Free. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5 with AJ. And they'll clean 3 rooms of carpet or tile for $100. 281 Dirt Free, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And a lot of people asking about other teams and other games. If you're new to the show, 5 o'clock, we go through all the other games and everything else that happened in the NFL. Usually we get to colleges about 6 o'clock on Mondays. And then we spend a lot more time on colleges on Tuesdays. It just kind of how the football season works here. When there's a Texans game, we kind of focus pretty heavily on that in the first hour.
Especially with something like this happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's having said that, I can't wait to see what the line is because I'm going to probably hammer them against the Titans next week.
Yeah.
Because
especially if Mariota's out.
It looks like he might be okay, but Lawan may not play. They've lost Walker.
Which, by the way, that the hit that knocked Mariota out, super dirty.
The hit that knocked Lawan out was super dirty,
yeah,
too.
The Dolphins are scumbags.
Yeah.
And
Dolphin fan, you're not good. Don't go thinking you are. You got Mariota knocked out and got to deal with Blaine Gabbert, and you had a storm on your side that delayed the damn thing for 12 hours. So, because a couple of friends of mine are Dolphin fans.
I got some of that, too. Oh, I thought the Dolphins suck. No, the Dolphins do still suck.
Yeah, you still suck.
Don't worry. And that's last night when I tweeted out that that the Packers suck, and then people are like, not anymore. Listen, the Packers suck. Aaron Rodgers, it's like Andrew Luck with the Colts. He covers up for so much bad things, yep. Like so many bad things. It's embarrassing what that team looks like with anyone but Aaron Rodgers at the helm. It's bad.
Yeah, and speaking of Andrew Luck, that last drive, you're like, oh, this is going to be the storybook ending. Nope, your team sucks, and they fumble a ball.
Womp, womp.
Ryan says, not a catch. Gronk used the ground. He has his hands inside, in between the ground and his helmet. With all due respect, Ryan, I look at that play as many times as you did, I'm sure, and I couldn't tell you whether he caught it or not, which means I don't think it's getting overturned. I could guess, but that's not what you're supposed to do with replay. Now, they do that a lot, which is why you call a timeout and make them look at it, because every now and then they make a decision on replay where you go, what the hell?
Yeah.
What did they see there? I think in the Aggie game, it was pretty clear that ball was out of bounds, and yet they didn't overturn it. So it's like, okay, whatever. We'll get to that at some point, too. But, I'm sure that's your opinion. That's great. My opinion is I couldn't tell the difference. And Astros fan doesn't want to hear this either, but I wouldn't overturn the thing last night either. I couldn't see enough to overturn it.
No.
And that's not popular. It's not what people want to hear. It's like, oh, it's a travesty. We were robbed. I don't know that you were. I didn't see enough there to where I could say, okay, he was clearly safe. Just like I didn't see enough with the Gronk catch to say he clearly didn't catch it. And that's what replay is supposed to do. Sorry if that's not popular, but
You know what else is unpopular? Our survival league.
Oh, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm glad. I am glad the Saints lost because now I don't have to pay attention to any of that crap for the rest of the year.
So I paid $20 to be in one of those survivor pools.
That, yeah.
Like, you know, there's a ton of people in, and it's winner takes all. And I had the Saints in that. So,
Last minute.
Literally just donated last $20.
Last minute, I almost switched to the Lions on everything, figuring I'd use the Saints later. And if for some reason they lost, I'd be okay. But I will say this, pretty good betting weekend so far for me.
Yeah.
3-1. I hit Florida International was my big play. I had the OU over thanks to that last UCLA touchdown. Appreciated that. Thank you, Bruins. I had the Saints over yesterday, which was halftime. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I can cash that one now. And the only one I missed was Hawaii, and they had a chance to cover, and they didn't. So feeling pretty good now, and I have the Lions tonight. That's my place for the weekend.
Yeah, I am currently where if the two favorites win tonight, it'll be a positive week for me. It's basically a draw right now. And the only reason it's even a draw is because one of my money line plays came through on Duke. But yeah, it's been kind of one of those. Oh, you're up a little, then you're down a little. You're up. It's basically like shuffling money between me and the window. But if I've got action on both games tonight, I've got the Lions and the Rams.
I feel good about both of those, by the way.
I mean, under a touchdown on the Lions, I feel good about the Rams at 4. It just seems like, I mean, unless I've totally misunderstood what the Rams are going to be this year, that should be easy money.
And Mike, one of the many people who's sending me the still frame of Altuve at the plate. Still frames aren't going to tell the story. You ought to know that, guys. Listen, just because you saw it one way, that's fine. I just saw it as something that I thought he might have been safe, but I can't overturn it based on that.
Yeah.
That's just me. And, you know, I know that's the easy thing is to do the we was robbed thing, but, you know, that's okay. If you're a fan of a team, you're supposed to think that. 713-780-3776. So, I played that poker tournament at Poker Royal Saturday.
And? Great success!
I would like to say I played the tournament, but I really didn't because I had the worst four-hour stretch of cards that I've ever had in my life.
Oh, no.
It was brutal. It's like I can't even tell where my game is because I didn't get to play because even if I tried to make a move into something, I ran into something.
And you still sat there for 4 hours.
I sat there for 4 hours and waited it out. And, you know, and then when I got short stack, I'm usually pretty good short stack. You just wait for your chance. You double up. You move on. Never had anything to play. It was frustrating because it was a good tournament, a lot of money in the pool. And I felt like I sat there for 4 hours and watch football.
Yeah.
I mean, eight deuce, seven deuce. And I mean, even I didn't even have big card, little card. I didn't even have suited anything. It was just, you know, there were some places where I could try to get chips, but every single time I did, I ran into somebody's re-raise and they all had big hands.
They actually had cards.
Yeah. And like there was once I almost tried to steal a pot by shoving with 10-3. And, you know, I'm looking at the guy across the table, and the table's like 3 inches higher than it should be, and he's got pocket aces.
How many pots did you rake?
One. One pot. About hour three, I had ace queen on the button and folded around to me, and I took the blinds. That was the best hand I saw the entire time. So it's just one of those that, you know, you just write it off and say, okay, I mean, but it was disappointing because I felt like I had a good read on the table. I felt like if I could have just gotten a couple of hands, I'd have been fine. But it was fun, man. That's a nice setup over there. They went way over the guarantee. So I'll definitely be going back, but not this week because I'll be playing in Vegas.
Yes.
But the other thing that I did on Saturday was we did that little 5K for the and it's a great cause. It was a Heroes 9/11 run, so it was like Houston Fire Department, Houston Police Department, all those guys were there. That is the hottest I've ever been in my life, AJ. I got about halfway through that thing. It was so humid, and I'm looking at the temperature gauge at the UH game where it's like way over 120. I believe it because I got about halfway through. It started overheating to the point that I had to stop and walk and get water and pour it on.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a heat stroke right there. It was so freaking hot, and I can't imagine what it was like for those kids playing on that field Saturday and actually doing something real, not just jogging around on a highway. But, yeah, it's a good cause. I'm glad, like, I did it. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, I got to meet BQ, who always texts the show. He was there. He went out before me.
Oh, well, he was the one, huh?
Yeah. So 713-780-ESPN. I'm not sure what you're saying, 281. Come on, Fred. 4 hours in one good hand just because you did, and when you blame it all on the hand, 4 hours crazy. What the hell does that mean? Could you speak English to me, Dickweed? Jesus.
On. Let's be friendly here.
No, I'm not going to be friendly. Listen, I'll be friendly to 90% of the people. And it used to be 95%, but that I noticed the percentage of useless human beings has gone up. Just listen, either make sense when you text me or go tell your dad that you wish he pulled out. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Product of
the
day.
Rather be the most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download.
Wait, I think I messed that up.
The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com. There's so much good stuff on there from starting today. Cody Stutes has his, he goes out and does the Texans press conference. So he does three headlines, two questions, one bet. My column on O'Brien turtling up in the biggest moments is getting a lot of run. Holly did her fun look at the opening weekend. She left the Cowboys out intentionally. Quality of play in week one is bad from Joel Blank. We have the Astros recap. Mindy Leveno has a video up, which I haven't seen yet because actually I haven't seen any of the videos.
You're too busy.
Yeah, well, they've been doing the videos, and I haven't had a chance to look at them. So there's several of those up. We've also got Jermaine Every's Good, Bad, and Ugly from yesterday. Cody Stutes' Player of the Game from yesterday. We have our Saturday NCAA football recap. There's just tons of great stuff on there, so go check it out. SportsMap.com. 201 says, Fred, jerk, don't be. Well played, sir. Now, so apparently he took time to actually try to text and say, I said you only had one hand for 4 hours. Come on, I find that hard to believe. Just because you didn't come in the money, you blame it on that. No, dickweed. I'm the first one to come on and say, hey, you know what? I played like garbage. If you've ever listened to this show, which clearly you don't, if I'm playing bad and I did something wrong, that's the best hand I saw in 4 hours. So if you think I'm lying about that, go ask the guys who were sitting at the table with me about how many hands I folded. I probably played four hands. I was in four hands, I think, the entire time.
So he took time to text it correctly.
Yeah.
He still gets called a dickweed.
Yeah, he still gets called a dickweed because he's implying that I'm lying about it, which I think the one thing I've always been pretty honest about is how I'm playing or how I'm betting. If I'm making stupid bets, I'll be the first one to say it. So, and yeah. Someone else says, calling people dickweeds, it's a wonder you have a job. It is a wonder I have a job. It's a wonder.
It really is. Yeah, spectacular.
Yeah, it's a total shock, man. And the cool thing is, if I lost this one, I'd have no problem finding another one. You, on the other hand, well, I'm sure McDonald's is hiring.
Yeah.
So, and then 409 says, yes, this is the last texture's dad. I wish I'd pulled out. Jason, I wish Deshaun Kaiser's dad pulled out.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
There are still, in the gal contest, there are still four people who have games pending, including yourself. You've got the Lions -6.5. Charlie Palillo has the Rams -4. Patrick Creighton has Rams -4. And Jermaine Every has Rams -4.5. Because this all goes on what the number is when you get your picks to me. So there's ways to beat the market. You know.
Well, I bet the Lions at 6.5.
Yeah.
Before it got to 7.
Yeah. So, like, for me, I got a really good number on Liberty and the Falcons, and it didn't matter in either case. So I'm 1-2. Only two people have a chance to be 3-0 after tonight.
Hmm.
Barry Laminack is 3-0. He had Oklahoma week 1. He had Wake Forest, and he had the Patriots this week. and our own Fred Fowler. If the Lions cover 6.5, Fred Fowler will join the 3-0 club, the elite 3-0 club, and be running away with this contest. He can already, you can Stop. Spin the money.
Stop.
You can, no?
No.
Well.
Three games into a, what's going to be, what, 30?
36.
Or yeah, 36, somewhere yeah. around 36.
Yeah, I was sweating a 0-2 this weekend, and then Cleveland decided to come back, and Ben Roethlisberger decided to turn the ball over that many times.
What five turnovers? Crazy game.
Yeah, we get to the top. We'll
Unbelievable.
Get to that one.
But Hawaii didn't cover for me, so I know I'm 1-1. Who's anybody over for the season?
Only Patrick Crayton, if the Rams don't cover tonight, will be 0-3.
It's a travesty! A travesty, I say!
There's only one other person who's 0-3. Only one person who's locked into an 0-3 start.
Well, it's none of us.
Poor Nick Sciarra.
Oh.
he doesn't quite understand the game. And he came up to me today and said, so, with the Steelers, I lost, right? And I was like, well, what number did you get it at? -4.5.
Not good at math, but...
Yeah, you lost. They didn't win by 5 points.
Yeah, I was having lunch with Teresa, and I had this giant grin on my face, and she goes, who are you going for? I go, Cleveland. And she goes, they tied. I go, I still win.
You still win. Yeah, I wanted to get back to that survivor pool. I wanted you to guess on how many people were eliminated.
Well, I think 70% of the people were on the... Saints, I think I saw, so I would say 70 were eliminated.
34 out of 100 yeah. were eliminated.
Oh,
so,
really? So yeah. not as bad as I thought.
Just one third of the people.
No, I'm eliminated, so.
I'm not.
I'm just glad because I don't want to be dealing with all these week after week.
Jong and I made the same pick, the Baltimore Ravens, which by Buffalo is,
God.
They are so bad.
That was ugly.
A couple people skimmed by on Green Bay.
Those
people, count yourself
yeah,
blessed.
That was not a good play. It worked out for you, but it wasn't a good one.
Four people went out on the Pittsburgh Steelers, which that's kind of a tough one to stomach because you know you didn't lose per se, but not good enough. And then there was one Indianapolis Colts believer. He's gone.
That's unfortunate because
they should have won that game.
They're driving to win the game and. You know, luck's looking great. Fumble.
One Arizona believer.
Okay, that was dumb.
They're gone. One Dallas Cowboys believer who's gone.
That's dumb.
And I got to say, out of the 100 entries, only one person didn't make a pick this week. No, and he's eliminated for no choice. I think last year there was like eight people didn't make a choice at all. So they were eliminated. So at least the people who got in this year seem to be genuinely invested in it, so that's good. And there's still, I'd say probably close to 20, over 20 people who have something tonight. I'm guessing there's a lot of Lions and Rams.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, if you pick the Raiders or the Jets, you're either really ballsy or
something.
Way smarter than I am. But yeah, so we're down to 66. And Jong and myself still hanging around.
Yeah, the one at the bar I could rebuy, but I don't think I want to mess with it. I kind of feel relieved that I'm done after week one.
Yeah.
Just because that's like three of them that I'm having to deal with, and it's like, I don't really want to do that. So, you know, I'm glad I lost.
Sure you are.
I'm just glad that they went over. That's all I cared
that's
about.
True.
That was beautiful, man. I'm sitting there watching that going, yeah, I didn't expect this over to come with this many points from the Bucks.
Nope.
But
especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick quarterbacking.
Yep. But then
crazy. I mean, there should be real concern about the Saints.
That defense, last year they were really solid.
They were out of this world.
Yeah, and I mean that they looked like the old Saints defense, and that and you get a scoop fumble touchdown when your defense is playing that bad, then. You have almost no shot. And Drew Brees played out of his mind yesterday.
He did as much as he could.
And, so that was not good. But we'll get to that. But, hey, I had that over, and you know where I bet it. My bookie. And the cool thing is, man, I don't even need this copy to tell you about my bookie because whatever you're into, you're able to bet it on there. I bet on it all weekend long on college football, on the NFL, even played a few horse races, and anything you want to play. If you wanted to bet the fights, you could have bet the fights. You want to bet the one Saturday night, guess what? You can do it all on MyBookie. And the thing is, they're trustworthy, they're safe, they're reliable, they've been in business for years, and when you win, they pay. And that's part one of the cool things about MyBookie is you don't have to worry about it. You're going to get your money if you win. In-game live betting, they've got great player perks. You get like 8% back on horse bets. I mean, it's just they got you set up. And if you want to bet over-under on fantasy points, you can do that too. Real simple. On your computer or mobile phone, just Google MyBookie and get your account started. Right now, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar for dollar match on your deposit. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Just Google MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. That's MyBookie.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.